All right, 1 Corinthians 15, down to verse 51. Most of you are familiar with this passage. Paul here is going to reveal to us a mystery. It says, "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed." So the Bible says here, we shall not all sleep. People who don't believe in the rapture, I don't know how they would explain that phrase. But, it's a beautiful truth. That's our title, "We Shall Not All Sleep." Let's pray. Lord, we love you. We thank you for your word and how beautiful and powerful it is. And Lord, as we look into it together, I pray the Holy Spirit, who we just studied in Sunday school, would apply it to each of our lives accordingly. And that we would grow through it, Lord, and that you would be pleased and glorified in it. And we thank you for it and love you. In Jesus' name we pray this. Amen. Let's talk a bit about that word mystery. There are many mysteries in the scriptures according to God. But there are some specific ones that we're aware of here in the New Testament. One of them, if you go to Romans 11:25, is that during this age called the church age, that Israel would be blinded to the truth of the gospel. It's sad, but God said it would happen, and we can see it, that not many Jews have come to Christ in the past 2,000 years. They did initially, of course, there in Jerusalem, but yeah, it's as a whole, there's been a lot of blindness. Notice Romans 11:25, "For I would not, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in." So Israel would have this, in part, blindness until the fullness of the Gentiles come in, which, of course, happens during the tribulation period. So that's one mystery. Then another one, if you go to Ephesians 1:9, is the church itself. The church was something that the Old Testament prophets never told us about because, well, it's a mystery. But also because God always does everything perfectly. And when Jesus came on the scene and said, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand," it was a genuine offer. If Israel had been willing to repent as a nation, Jesus would have been willing to set up his kingdom. But God, knowing the future, had it set to go both ways. Amen. And they rejected Jesus. They rejected his call for repentance. And that, of course, ushered in Calvary and what we live in now, which is the church age. Why was it a mystery to Old Testament prophets? Because God planned it that way, that it was available to Israel. It was a genuine offer. Notice Ephesians 1:9, "Having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both of which are in heaven, which are on earth, even in him." Many times in the New Testament, the Apostle Paul makes it clear that this age was a mystery to all the Old Testament prophets. And then a third thing that's a mystery, if you go to 1 Timothy 3:16, is the incarnation of our wonderful Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Notice 1 Timothy 3:16, "Without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached to the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory." So we did get hints of it in Isaiah 7, a couple of other places, Micah chapter 5. But this mystery of godliness, that God became a man. And those are just some of the other mysteries. But today we're looking at the mystery of the return of Jesus Christ to take the church out before he pours out his wrath upon Israel. Now, we can all know that's close because God tells us in his word what it would be like in the last days. While we're in 1 Timothy, look at chapter 4 and verse 1, and we'll see that the Bible makes it very clear. We can look around and see Jesus is coming soon. Now, we don't know when. Don't try to pick a date because it definitely won't be that date. 1 Timothy 4, "Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits, doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. And then go to 2 Timothy 3, verse 1. And we can see these things happening around us, which on the one hand, it's tough to see the world so evil, but on the other hand, it should be exciting for us as Christians because Jesus is coming soon. And we're to be excited about that. We're to be looking forward to that. 2 Timothy 3, verse 1. This know also that in the last days, perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power of from such turn away. Wow, what a list, huh? Verse 13, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. So we can see these things around us, can't we? And then last, 2 Timothy 4, just the next chapter over, verse 3. The Bible says, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. We can see all of this happening, and it should make us excited that Jesus is coming soon. It could be today. Amen. So notice verse 51 back in our passage, 1 Corinthians 15. We shall not all sleep. That's our title today. We shall not all sleep. Now, when we see the word sleep in the Bible, those of us that are Christians understand that God is not talking about taking a nap or going to bed at night. He is talking about the death of Christians. We know this from many passages, but Matthew 27 would be a good one, verse 52, if you want to turn there. Matthew 27, verse 52. This is when Jesus died at Calvary and rose again. And this event is only recorded for us in Matthew. But in this passage, some people actually came back from the dead. Can you imagine? That's what it says, Matthew 27, 52. And the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose. So the people that did come back from the dead to show the world the power of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, notice that they were saints. So they were people that were saved, that had trusted the Lord, and notice the Bible uses the word slept. So I wouldn't want to be one of these Christians because they had to come back from glory. But we also see it with Lazarus, right, in John chapter 11. Jesus said to his disciples, he sleepeth, and they said, oh, it's good. And finally, he had to be clear and say, he is dead. And he went back and, of course, brought Lazarus back from the dead. And then 1 Thessalonians 4:14, which is kind of the parallel passage of 1 Corinthians 15:51. It says, for if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. So those that have already died, he's bringing them with him. This is a mystery, but we shall not all sleep. We won't all sleep. Some will not have to experience physical death. Isn't that something? But, verse 51, we shall all be changed. Hallelujah. We will all get a new body. And the older we get, the more we look forward to that day. No more pain, no more crying, no more sorrow, as God says in His Word. But what will this body be like? We'll look at Philippians 3:21 and we'll see. This body will be like the glorified body of our Savior after the resurrection. Philippians chapter 3, look at verse 21. Who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto His glorious body, according to the working whereby He is able even to subdue all things unto Himself. Amen. Fashioned like unto His glorious body, we shall all be changed. Look at 1 John 3, 2 quickly, if you would. And again, we're told that our body will be like His glorified body. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 2. He says, beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. We shall be like Him. Hallelujah. So this is a mystery, but it's being revealed by Paul that we shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. So how is this going to happen? Verse 52 of our passage, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. All through the New Testament, Christians are not told to watch for the Antichrist. We're not told to watch for the tribulation. We're told to watch for Jesus. If there is no rapture, then, and Christians are going into the tribulation, well, then we'll be able to pick the day when Jesus comes back, won't we? Because we have our Bibles. And God gives us even the number of days the tribulation lasts. But we're never told to watch for the Antichrist. We're told to watch for Jesus. And when he returns, it'll be in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. It'll be instantaneous. We don't even know how fast a twinkling of an eye is. But look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 13, where God again tells us about this wonderful event that we're all looking forward to, that Jesus will return in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, the last trump. 1 Thessalonians, look at chapter 4, verse 13. I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Amen. How exciting is that? We are to be looking for Jesus. Philippians 3:20, our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior. Titus chapter 2, verse 11, looking for the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Look at 1 Thessalonians 1:10. Just back a couple chapters if you were in chapter 4. And to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. We're to wait for Jesus. We're to expect Jesus. We're to look for Jesus. All through the New Testament we're told this. And when he comes, we're not going to get a warning. We're not going to get a grace period. It'll be instant. It'll be in a moment. It'll be in the twinkling of an eye. Instantaneously, we will be with Jesus, as we just read in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. So if you go to Revelation 4 quickly, I know you probably understand, but Revelation is set up in basically three sections. You've got the introduction, then you've got four sections. Introduction. Then you've got the church epistle or church letters in chapters 2 and 3. And then you've got the 24 elders in heaven in chapters 4 and 5. And then, of course, in chapters 6 through 18, you have the tribulation period. Then Jesus comes back and the kingdom and the new everything. But what's interesting is after chapter 3, you don't hear from the church, about the church or from the church, until, of course, the final invitation of Revelation 22:17 about the bride saying, come. The reason for that is in chapter 4, verse 1, after this I looked, and behold, a door was open in heaven, and the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up hither. Now, this is John's vision, of course, of Revelation. But isn't it interesting that immediately after the church letters, we have a trumpet and we have a come up hither, and then we see the 24 elders worshiping God in heaven who have white robes of righteousness and talk about redemption through the blood of Jesus Christ. So this is going to happen in a moment. Amen? In a moment. In the twinkling of an eye. At the last trump. And it says, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. So what happens next? Well, according to Scripture, Romans 14:10, if you want to turn there, immediately after this event, what happens on the earth is given to us in chapter 6 to 18 of Revelation, which is this pouring out of God's wrath on the earth, chastising Israel, It'll be a terrible time. The tribulation period, God calls it. But what will Christians face? Revelation 14:10. But why dost thou judge thy brother, or why dost thou set it not thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Now this judgment seat, if you go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 9, is hallelujah not to judge us for our sins. If it was, we'd be in serious trouble, wouldn't we? But the day we got saved, our sins were covered by the blood of Jesus. They're forgiven. They're gone. Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 9. Wherefore we labor, that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of him, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. And if you go to chapter 3 of 1 Corinthians, you'll read about this judgment. It takes place in heaven. There's gold, silver, precious stone, and there's wood, hay, stubble. We will face a judgment, not for our sins, but for what we did with our Christianity after we got saved. Did we use it to serve God? Did we let the Spirit lead us? And did we use the power of the Holy Spirit, like we talked about this morning, to share the gospel with the lost and so forth? Judgment seat, then heaven. Or probably be in heaven, but well, then we get to enjoy heaven. Revelation 4:4, let's see this. Like I said, Revelations chapter 4 and 5 are a picture of the church in heaven. Revelation 4:4, it says, and round about the throne were 24 seats, and upon the seats I saw 24 elders sitting clothed in white raiment, and they had on their heads crowns of gold. Down in verse 10. And the 24 elders fall down before him that sat on the throne and worship him that liveth forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne. So in verse 4, they get the crowns, and in verse 10, they cast the crowns. That's us. How do we know it's us? Look at chapter 5, verse 8. When he had taken the book, the four beasts and 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sung a new song, saying, thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. Amen. We shall reign on the earth in the future at the kingdom. So what should all this mean to Christians? We'll go to 1 John chapter 2, verse 28. It means we need to be ready. Are we ready? There's no take backs. There's no changing our minds. When the trumpet blows, it's over. Are we ready? I mean, if you believe Jesus died and rose again for you, which you obviously do, or you wouldn't be saved, believe just as much he's coming back. Because he talked more about that than pretty much any other event in the New Testament. Notice that 1 John 2:28, and now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. Are we ready? There will be some that will be ashamed. And in Hebrews 9:28, if you look, Hebrews chapter 9, verse 28, God says, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. God says we're to look for him. We're to be expecting him. And we're to be living accordingly. Look at 1 John chapter 3 and verse 3. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 3. Expecting the return of Jesus Christ should have a purifying effect in our lives. We should expect him, and we should act and live our lives accordingly. Notice 1 John 3:3. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. Jesus is coming back. That is a fact that we can sink our teeth into. Amen. It could be today. And he wants us to be prepared. He wants us to be purifying ourselves. He doesn't want us to be ashamed of his coming. He wants us to be ready. Like we talked in Sunday school this morning, why did the Holy Spirit move in? Yes, to comfort us. Yes, to guide us into truth, but also to empower us. that we might get the gospel to the lost. So we need to be serving until he comes. You know, occupy till I come. That word occupy doesn't mean to sit. It means to be busy. But we're to be ready for the trumpet. When will it blow? In a moment. In the twinkling of an eye. Just like that. When's it going to happen? Could be today. It could be in 10 years. Could be in 100 years. We don't know. But we're in the last days. So we're to live our lives as if it is at any time. And you know, Paul, when you read his letters, Paul expected it to happen before he died. And rightly so. The imminency of the return of Jesus Christ is something that should affect all of us. And Paul actually believed, he didn't know about the 2,000 years. He believed at any moment Jesus could come back. And that's what he wrote down for us. And every Christian since was to believe the same thing. He could come at any time. Is he going to give us signs? No. Many of the signs that people read are Matthew 24 and other places. Those are not signs about the rapture. Those are signs about his returning to the earth to set up his kingdom. But we can see that we're in the last days. Amen. And that when it comes, there are some. Who knows? Maybe one of us. Maybe all of us. Don't sleep. We don't have to die. Won't that be exciting? So, we shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. You know, you might be here this morning, you might say, the truth is, I'm not sure I'm ready. I'm not sure I'm even a Christian. Well, that's why Jesus died and rose again, because he loves you. He was willing to become a man for you and die in your place and then conquer death and rise again from the dead. And from what he did, he offers you eternal life. It's called salvation. It's called being born again. But Jesus wants that for everyone. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. He wants everyone saved. And if you're here this morning and you're not sure, please get sure. Come forward as we sing. Talk to me afterwards. Talk to someone and just say, I want to be sure. And we'll take God's word, the Bible, the gospel, and show you today you can be saved. Amen. You can be ready for Jesus to come back. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for your precious and beautiful and powerful promise, for revealing this mystery to us, Lord. And we're excited. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. And Lord, until that day, may we be prepared. May we be excited, looking for it and living for it. And Lord, if there's someone here not sure that they're ready, may they get ready. If it's a Christian, maybe, that needs to get closer to you, or an unsaved person that needs to get saved, may the Holy Spirit work in hearts. And we thank you for speaking to us, and we love you.